Welcome to the Dirty Heifers Podcast, soap making, small business, and so much more. Let's get dirty. Hey, y'all, and welcome back to another episode of the Dirty Heifers Podcast, the show where soap meets sass and small business gets real. I'm Margaret from Warm and Fuzzy Soapery, and I'm here with my co-hosts Jesse from Country Lather Soapworks and Shauna from Bawana Bath & Body. Tonight, we're diving into something that every product-based business has to deal with: packaging. Whether you're shrink-wrapping your first bar of soap on your kitchen counter or designing luxury boxes that scream high-end, packaging does more than just keep your stuff contained. It tells your customers exactly who you are before they ever even use your product. We're covering it all: function, design, eco-friendliness, budget-friendly hacks, branding wins, and yes, even the flops. You're going to want to stick around for the horror stories and hard-won lessons, but first, you know what we do. It is time for Word of the Week, where Jesse tries to decode a word and maybe even use it in a sentence. This week's word is
maybe.
All right. Aww. So the word is aesthetic.
Any guesses?
It is aesthetic.
All right. Hooray.
You went easy on me this week.
I did go easy on you.
And that's just kind of the feel or the vibe of something.
It is exactly the feel or the vibe of something. I was going to say as a sentence, Shauna was so committed to her packaging aesthetic that she paid more for custom ink color than she did for her rent last month. You know, I like to shake it up a little bit. All right, so you want to loosen things up with some...
Well, we
this
got
or
a redneck
that?
Word.
Oh,
of the
redneck
week.
Word of the week. I keep forgetting. You are getting, what is wrong with me? Getting late.
I'm just, y'all listeners, she just does not see me as a vital part of this podcast.
But redneck word of the week is so fun.
But without you, there'd be a little mini hole in our podcast.
An itty bitty one.
Margaret almost lost it on that.
Oh, speaking of which, I ordered this. Have you ever seen the Straw Buddies?
Something like that.
Okay. So I saw these Straw Buddies on TikTok and was like, I need these immediately, because if the three of us are at the conference and we all have our mugs next to each other, how are we going to know whose is whose? Well, I have a little tie-dye heifer.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
And I picked up two other little heifers, and I can't find them. So as soon as I find them, I will mail them to you guys. I had them. See, the thing is, I had them out before the party, AJ's party, and I was showing them to Emily and Maggie. And then we had the party, and then we cleaned up after the party, and then John's cousin stayed here last week while we were out, while we were away. And when I came back, she scrubbed my house. Like, I walked in, I was like, wow, even cleaner than when we left. This is fantastic. But I can't find anything. So when I find them, we'll each have our own little Straw Buddy heifer in a different color so we can know whose drink is whose. Just saying.
I bet mine's the black sheep.
It's a screaming guy.
All right. So... Redneck word of the week. And I'm really going to have to sit down and make me a new list, because we've done a lot of episodes. So this one I'm pretty sure y'all know, but some of the listeners out there might not know. So the redneck word of the week is crawfishing.
Crawfishing? Like, just...
We've talked about this before. We talked about it in an earlier episode, I think.
Like, just catching crawfish to eat?
Uh-uh. Isn't it like backpedaling, like backing away?
Backpedaling. See, a crawfish, when you're looking at them, they don't go forward. They go backwards.
So give us an example. I mean, I understand it, but use it in a sentence, just so that to help everybody.
In a previous episode of the Dirty Heifers, Shauna completely word vomited all over the microphone, and she had to crawfish her way out of that.
I love how we both used Shauna in our sentences.
Shauna's our whipping boy.
Oh, oh no, she can't hear me.
That's perfect. On this episode of the Dirty Heifers, we have technical difficulties.
Technical difficulties. Oh my God. She's gonna watch this episode.
I can hear you now. What happened was my husband, for knowing we're recording, tried to. What do I miss? Anyway, he tried to FaceTime me or something to see if I ordered the food, and it cut my headphones off. What did I miss?
You were the examples in both of our sentences.
Mm-hmm. I feel victimized.
You should. But anyhow.
Do I have to come down to Mississippi and eat your butt?
You gotta find me first, Heifer.
She's little. She can fit anywhere and hide.
She's in that stomp hole.
They like opening all the cabinets. Where is she?
She's in the bush.
All right, but, so.
So crawfish is basically trying to weasel your way out of something. Trying to backpedal.
Now, what the heck did you try and accuse me of with that?
Should I tell her, Margaret?
She'll see it when it airs.
Rude!
You gotta wait a whole week, Heifer.
Yeah.
Or until she sends the clips.
The clips, yeah. The clips I'll work on tomorrow. All right. So before, let's do the this or that later. Let's talk about what is the purpose of packaging? Why do we package? Well,
and to me, packaging is your first impression to your customer. It tells the customer, gives them a little glimpse into who you are as a business.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's your presentation. It's the customers, people are going to judge a book by its cover.
That's
your packaging is your cover, right? 100%. You also for protection. Right,
it's your product's clothing.
It's your product's clothing. You want to,
it's protection. Always use it.
Yes, please.
Last episode we were talking about procreating. This episode we're talking about using protection.
You with your calf teat above you, anyway.
Well, yes. But for as far as protection, when you're, people who have melt and pour soap, they're gonna put it in the shrink wrap so that it doesn't melt, and other even if you have other products, candles, you want to protect it from breaking. You want to just make sure that it can dust, all those kinds of things.
As soap, like we've mentioned in previous episodes, people are going to pick it up and flat nose molest it. They're going to rub their nose right up next to it. So
there's also for non-soap products a legal obligation to put information on the label. So
for compliance, you want to put your labeling laws, your INSI names, your weights, your ingredients, your contact information, all of that goes on a label, which goes on your packaging. Your brand identity, which is your fonts, your colors, your logos. Your packaging is your vibe, right?
Or your aesthetic.
Your aesthetic.
That's right. And then accessibility. Like, you want your packaging to be easy to open, easy to read, and friendly to people of all abilities. Like, how many times have you gotten a bath bomb and a shrink wrap? Oh. I cannot ever. One company once sent me one of those little 3D printed hook things. Mm-hmm. It might have even been you. Or maybe we got it at the conference. Oh, that's a great idea. They should go out with everyone. Like, if I don't have that little thing by the bathtub. Yep, that's exactly.
Yeah.
I think July actually had some made first, and that's where I learned about them.
Nice. That's really cute, that one. But, yeah, so my packaging, which I have here, it's got the logo on it, it's got the label, it has all of the information, it has all of those things. Yeah, she's probably going to grab her packaging. Because you guys, and I know that you guys both just did a big change in your packaging. So why don't we talk about that for a second? Jessie's holding up her new boxes, and Shauna's got her brand new box, too. Now, both of those, hold them both up at the same time for a second. So looking at the front of the boxes, exactly what I was talking about, you can see clearly your label, your the name of the company. I can see the name of her soap. They're all different. Like, all of the information is there. And when you're looking at both of them, they both reflect who you are. Like, the Bawana.
I've got barcodes.
Right. And the Bawana one looks, it's got the whole vibe, like your website, the colors, the all of that. And then yours also with the logo, your packaging reflects exactly your brand, both of you.
Yep. And that has everything to do with a very important person when it comes to any type of design, and that is a graphic designer.
Okay.
Gotta have a good one.
So do you want to talk about the process of how you went from, because mine, you know, shrink wrapping is pretty easy. There's different ways of shrink wrapping.
Let me grab one that's shrink wrapped. Let me grab a shrink wrap one.
While she's grabbing that, when we first started, we were doing shrink wrap in the little baggies from Amazon. Then you lose the little
wand. Oh, yeah. I did
that,
too.
And
I think everybody has done that.
And then some people use the bands. You've got a sticker right on your shrink wrap. Some people, if you're doing a lot, they move up to the national shrink wrap system or something similar to that rather than doing the individual bags. I moved away from the shrink wrap to the paper. Because this is my vibe. This is my aesthetic. This packaging is my vibe. We hand stamp it. So it's got, that handcrafted feel to it. It's easy to open. I like the ASMR, quality of making videos of it. And, it's easy and simple. Is it sustainable? I don't know. Maybe I'll move on to boxes one day. So tell us about the process of moving on from something like this or the shrink wrap to...
It's a long one.
And Shauna, hers actually was... I mean, you could do it a few different ways. Like, Shauna, hers didn't take near as long as mine did because you did just like a basic box and you put your ingredients and your fragrance
It took a long time, but for different reasons. Because yours are... So, like, what she's referring to is, I don't know how well people can see this, but I have a generic box, and then the label on the side is what customizes it. So the label wraps around the side, that seals the side. It shows the name and then all the other information's on the side. So then I printed 5,000 of these generic ones, and then just customize them for that. Because I don't have a set line like Jessie does yet.
Okay. So what they're saying is Shauna has one box for all the different types of soap that she has. And then she puts a label on that box, which shows you exactly what's inside. Whereas Jessie has a different box for each of the type of soaps that she has. So go ahead, keep going.
So what took so long with mine is, one, I don't get in a rush, but really anything that's business related, I take my time. Because when you get in a hurry, you forget things. Something gets messed up. So I took my time, and a friend of mine referred me to a graphic designer, and the graphic designer was just bomb. I mean, bomb in a good way. She was really awesome. And she was also versed in barcodes and putting those on and how to get barcodes and such as that. So this particular graphic designer was just a well of information. What took the longest was the barcodes. Me trying to navigate GS1. And GS1 is the company that does the majority of the world's barcodes. And like Walmart and Amazon and all your major companies, they're going to recognize the GS1 barcode. And that's a whole process in itself. And we could probably do a whole episode just on that, to be 100% honest, because you've got to get a company prefix that costs money, and that depends on the size of your company, you know, how many different products you've got, and such as that. Squirrel. Anyhow, it took a while to get the barcodes and to get those formatted to the boxes and such as that. And then once I got my boxes, I'm a company that I try to deal with other U.S.-based companies as much as physically possible. Does it happen all the time? No, because it's just, there's no way. There's some resources that you have to get outside of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
But I specifically tried to vet companies that were, that would produce my boxes in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
and that was incredibly hard to do. And
yep. Yeah. I'm lucky that Brad did all that work. So Mr. Buona did all that work ahead of time. He's very much like you. He's very particular about who we're going to work with. And he does, you know how they joke, like, if you want to find out something about someone, get your girlfriends on it, because they're like little FBI agents. That's my husband. Uh-huh. He will find, like, where they're located, who they do business with, who the president of the freaking company is. He will figure it out. And, yeah, so he went through all that ahead of time, and that's how we ended up with who we have.
Yeah. But it just took some time, you know. And I think I started working on this in, like, October.
You saw that?
I see you looking weird. I don't know what you're...
She's over there cleaning underneath her fingernails with a razor blade.
I didn't see that,
I didn't know y'all could
see
that.
I'm like, what is she... Is she literally taking a razor blade to underneath her fingernail?
This is my shocked face.
I had something under my fingernail. I couldn't stand it.
I am not a least bit surprised about that one. Anyway. I didn't see it. All I saw was just Margaret go.
I'm sitting there talking, and I look up. I'm like, what the crap? I'm getting the stink eye over here.
Not the stink eye. I was just like, is she what? I thought you were like, I actually thought you had a nail clipper and were clipping your nails. And I'm like, what is she? Is this the time she's clipping her nails?
I had something under my fingernail. I couldn't stand this. Why keep them short?
Anywho. So we're back to, okay, we're trying to work with a U.S.-based company.
Squirrel. but I think I started working on the boxes back in like October, something like that. September, October, and I just got them in the end of June. And should I go into it or not?
Let's save that for when we're talking about at the end, like issues, mess ups or whatever.
Issues, got it.
Fails and lessons.
Yeah.
So for there's types of packaging. You've got your primary packaging, which is your direct product wrap. Right, your soap sleeves, your jars, your bottles, your candle vessels, all those kinds of things. Your secondary packaging is the boxes or the bags and the tissue wrap and the belly bands. And then your tertiary packaging is your bulk or your shipping packaging.
Did you say tertiary?
Tertiary.
Tertiary.
Third level. Tertiary.
You know why?
Third level? If you're constipated or
something. We should have made that a word.
I was thinking, as soon as I said it, I went, she's not going to know because she doesn't live in an area that snows. And that's how I learned tertiary.
It did snow one time. Thank you.
Yeah, but you don't get plowed. Like, here, it's the plow.
I think we got plowed. We got 5 inches.
But here, when you're looking for the roads to be plowed, they're gonna plow the highways, then they're gonna plow your secondary streets, and then your tertiary streets.
We're talking about tertiary, and you don't get plowed down there.
There's no D in tertiary.
That's not why we're laughing.
That's what she said.
Because she got plowed.
Well, not so, only that, she said we got plowed and we got 5 inches.
Is 5 inches really being plowed? I'm asking for a friend.
You would know.
Oh my gosh. Yes. This might be the one that run that goes.
Oh my gosh. That is not where I learned tertiary from. Okay.
Where did you? Oh, I guess you just.
In medicine, we talk about time.
Gosh.
Okay. I just always associated with snow.
I associated with medicine, so.
And yes, we get plowed down here. We just plow the garden.
Different season, different purpose.
Yes.
That's what she said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, back in. Woohoo!
Back to procreating, anyway. Different season, different purpose. That's what she said. We've been away too long.
Way too long.
I was fixed to say, you could tell we haven't done this in a few weeks. Oh, Lord.
The jokes are flying.
Okay.
Lord.
I don't even remember what we were saying.
Tertiary.
You're talking about tertiary
right.
packaging.
Oh, so your bulk packaging. And yes. Like, you know, when you're doing several
shipping
things together.
Boxes, things like that.
Yeah, the shipping boxes and all that kind of stuff.
We haven't gotten that yet.
No, I haven't gotten to the bulk pack. I mean, I've had some large orders, but certainly not bulk packaging that I would have to think about over and over again. What about, let's compare, like, craft paper and plastic wrap, things like that.
I haven't done a lot with craft paper. I mean, with shrink wrap, you talking about shrink wrap or plastic?
I guess either one. Aren't they very similar? Plastic wrap and... Well,
no,
plastic wrap
is what you usually for the kitchen.
Yeah. I actually have seen in a lot of soap making groups and people start out, they use plastic wrap.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I've never used that. I started out my packaging with little bags from Amazon, little shrink wrap bags.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I would fold the ends and put the tape on it, and then I'd run a hair dryer over it, and that worked for a while. And then I upgraded and got an impulse sealer, mm-hmm. and I thought that was the coolest thing ever,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know. And done that for a few years, and cussed that cat and licked it, too. And then I got the National Shrink Wrap System.
Did you just say that cat licked it, too? What does that mean?
Cussed that cat and licked it too.
Means I've been there and done that.
Okay. All right. You could have used that as a...
I got that t-shirt.
That would have been a good redneck word of the week.
She said it before.
I've said it before.
That doesn't mean I've paid attention.
She's not... Like we said in the text message earlier today, she is just not observant.
I am the organized heifer, certainly not the observant one. A lot of stuff can go whoosh, right over there.
Goes
meow. It does.
Yep.
It can and it does.
Yep.
but I upgraded to the National Shrink Wrap System, and boy, that was a step up.
Mm-hmm.
And but you know, shrink wrap is shrink wrap, and especially when you deal with the biodegradable form of it, the more it's handled, the more it breaks down. And you can, like, if I've got a bar of soap that's in a store that has sat there for a couple months, you can definitely tell the difference.
Is it how? Is it like brittle? It gets brittle
it gets,
and like crunchy like, right?
Well, it really doesn't get crunchy like the biodegradable, biofilm?
Biofilm.
Yeah, that. I can't say that word. The biofilm, it doesn't get brittle. Well, I guess it does get brittle, but it's not crunchy.
Right.
But the seams will break apart the more it's handled.
Mm. I wasn't aware of that.
It just becomes very handled looking. Mm-hmm. It's been used and abused, and it ain't even been bought and paid for.
Right.
Or,
and then there's...
As you like to say, rode hard and hung up wet, right?
It's been rode hard and hung up wet, and it ain't even been bought and paid for.
I was thinking about like the craft paper and how some people use that as the belly bands.
Right.
Yeah.
And the issue with that.
I have done that.
And I hear some of the issues with that is as it falls off. Right.
And see the same thing with the shrink wrap, your soaps, as they sit, your soap's going to continue to dry. Mm-hmm. It's going to shrink a little bit, mm-hmm. and the packaging's going to be too big for it.
Right. So it looks like somebody wearing an ill-fitted suit almost.
Right.
Like it's just too, like they lost weight and it's too big for them.
Yeah.
So
instead of being too big for your britches, you're too little for your britches.
Your britches are too big for you. And then you have your fancy boxes, like the two of you have, versus your budget-friendly kind of stuff, like me, right? And then let's talk about design, right? Jessie said her biggest thing was getting a graphic designer, but in all reality, you could probably use Canva and, some people use Canva versus, you could DIY it with stamps and stickers. I certainly DIY'd this. You can change your typography, your colors, the psychology, and choosing your visual, except your aesthetic can change. I find that, I can easily change my packaging anytime I want. So I use different, I can change it with the seasons. I can change the color of my stamp. I can change the stamp itself very quickly, very on the fly, and I can customize the packaging for different occasions. Whereas boxes, that's going to be a little bit harder if you're doing like a bridal shower or something like that. Although,
it changed again.
My voice?
Yeah,
the microphone's just, it's being weird this episode.
I didn't even touch it.
It's doing its own thing.
It's still there, though. All right.
Yeah, it's still there.
It'll probably all level out in the end. Hopefully. And you should be designing your boxes for your customer and not for yourself, right?
You got really loud there.
When I said, hopefully.
Yeah, but I mean, it got loud.
Really?
I think there's some weird setting on there. But
yeah.
One thing, if you are getting boxes custom printed and you're talking about like DIY, you can come up with an initial design yourself, but they need an actual file set up a certain way for them to
print
and cut it. So, but you can get custom sizing and everything too. So.
On the upside, I have found with most packaging companies that they will provide graphic design for your boxes at no charge.
Yeah, I would think that would be. Mm-hmm.
I would think that would
be standard.
They provide design, but we actually already had this design for our t-shirts that Brad had gotten designed when we had our t-shirts made. So he gave them that. But we went through a few different iterations, and I have them up there.
Have we had any packaging fails? We'll save Jesse's packaging ordering thing. Fiasco, but have you ever ordered the wrong size boxes? We've done that.
I have ordered so much different packaging and tried. I tried for a while there. I have the craft labels, but I decided I wanted to do craft sticky paper labels.
I've done that.
Mm-hmm. And I ordered craft sticky paper off of Amazon. Bad idea.
Why is that?
So I put that on there and decided I didn't like it or I didn't want to keep doing that. So I went to take it off and it left a sticky film on the soap.
You put the label right onto the soap itself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So instead, the band. Gotcha. Yeah.
So instead of having a craft paper band, it was a craft sticker band.
Okay.
So it would stay on because, they fall off.
Right.
But that cheap paper from Amazon left a nice little sticky film on there.
That is annoying. How about, has anything ever melted or leaked during shipping?
Not that I know. I can say, on my bath bombs, I do this craft paper band. So it's just like the same kind of cigar band type thing. But then I had issues with the oil from the bath bomb soaking into the paper. Mm-hmm. So now what I do is I have a, what is that thing that you seal? Laminator.
Okay.
I have a laminator. So I laminate the back of it.
Oh, that's an awful lot of
It is.
Yeah, that's steps.
Well, yeah.
But I laminate the back of that to keep it from soaking in.
That's kind of like, I don't know, Margaret, I think me and you were friends way back when I had the big bath bomb fiasco, because I used to do my packaging similar to Shauna's.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's, you know, it's humid as crap down here. Mm-hmm. And I'd packaged, you know, my... It's like I'm hearing little voices. I'm hearing voices.
I thought her screen froze.
No.
I was drinking.
I was legit hearing voices through my, not through my head, through my...
I was hearing a little like crunching noise while you were talking. And I'm looking at your like volume going up and down, and I'm like, maybe it's not just my mic, maybe it's hers too, maybe it's the whole situation. But as soon as you stopped, now it stopped.
Yeah. Okay. Anyhow, squirrel. So my packaging for my bath bombs back when I made them, I don't make them anymore, was similar to Shauna's. And with the biodegradable shrink wrap, you know, there's little bitty microscopic holes in it where you could smell the product through it. That don't work for South Mississippi when it's humid as crap down here.
Mm-hmm.
I had like 200 plus bath bombs made. A crap ton of them. And they all went to every one of them. And
yeah,
I was so ticked off. So I had to change my packaging then, where I shrink wrapped the bath bombs. Just shrink wrapped them. Didn't do the band. Just shrink wrapped them. And then I put them in like cupcake bags.
Mm-hmm.
And then the label would go on the little bread tie,
mm-hmm,
that, you know, you close up the bag with. Yeah, that was a lot.
Yeah, I used to love that. Mine, same thing. It's humid here, too, in the summer, and my bath bombs go to mush in the summer. So I only make them if people order them. I don't keep them in stock anymore. So if you order bath bombs, I'm making bath bombs. Because they turn to mush because of the humidity. But yeah. I love the look of that packaging with the... it in the bag with the whole thing and the tag sticking off of it. But it was too much.
It was cute. That, and when you go to craft fairs, a lot of the dyes and such as that, you know, like red ones and what's the blue ones, purple
ones.
They
all just disappear in the sun.
Yeah, they'll bleach. And it's just, it's, for me, it just wasn't worth it. Because then I was having to... You know, I'd shrink wrap them, and then I'd wrap them in tissue paper, and then I'd put them in the treat bags, and you know what? Who's got time for that?
Yeah.
When the majority of my customers buy soap. I broke down the numbers and was like, it's not worth making them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I've had some candles melt in shipping. That's not fun. I've had a concrete candle broke. A couple of my my little Christmas candles. Do I have any up here? The little snowmen set that I have, like, they would break during shipping. So you really have to. It's so annoying.
Yeah.
that's 100% because of the packaging, and you know, because the mailmen are yeeting those things with across the yard.
Oh yeah.
When I package my orders, I package it so like nothing moves whenever you shake the box.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I do a shake test with, you know, well, I did it a lot when I still had the bath bombs. I would package things so tight that I would pick the box up and I would shake it. And if I felt anything move, it got more soap nuts in it.
Yeah. What about, have you ever had any, like, That's what she said. English, yeah. Do you think that the amount of money that you've put into your packaging, you have to kind of account for that in your cost of goods, right?
Yep.
So your packaging is costing you more, and it's the presentation, it protects the product more, but I believe both of you had to adjust prices because of that, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Because you can't, you know, you can't have no profit because you have no packaging.
But it's also an investment in the future of your company is what it is. So that's kind of, you know, we're talking about like if you wanted to get a deal in a store, this looks a lot better to customers than something sitting on the shelf in a
So that's the whole reason I went with the barcodes is because I'm a big picture kind of gal. I'm a really, I mean, I try to look just as far ahead as I can. And, you know, I could see that a make or break kind of thing with maybe a major chain would be, hey, she doesn't have barcodes.
Right. True. Yeah. And then you also, both of your boxes have the windows on them. Mm-hmm. That is the downfall of my packaging.
Right. Because
there's no seeing what's inside. You cannot see.
We actually had to have a custom die made for this one.
Yeah,
well, it follows the mountains.
Right.
I did too, but mine's not as bougie as hers.
I'm just going to smell my soap.
Right, but what I like about that is you can see the colors.
You
can smell it without nose molesting it. This you can, this paper is thin enough. It's not thick like craft paper, but you can still smell it. Mm-hmm. So I can, well, this one has no fragrance, but but you can smell it through the packaging. You just can't see it. And a lot of people shop with their eyes. So it's tough. I don't bring an, when I go to like a craft show or something, I have to bring an unwrapped bar of everyone because the people want to see it. So that's a downfall of this.
I didn't think about this at the time whenever we're doing it. Brad's like he did, but the soap swirls become the sky in this box.
Yeah, like, that's cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Uh-huh.
Well, see, that's kind of like in my original like idea.
Mm-hmm.
For my packaging, I was going to have like a semicircle above my tree line.
Mm-hmm.
So this was going to be like down here, and I was going to have a semicircle. And the idea was, you know, like the sun rising over the trees. But that was more than a headache than it was worth. So,
yeah.
Having that special die made.
Off the time, you have to get a custom die made. And so,
yeah.
And then what about, what would happen if you got all your boxes and saw a misprint or something? Or you forgot an ingredient or...
That would stink, but that would be totally on you because, I mean, I was... That's one reason why I was so slow with mine is through every process, I went over every box design and just picked at it.
That's the good thing about something like this is... When someone points out a spelling mistake.
It was out of love.
You can easily fix it. So, you know, because I'm not heavily invested in my labels and I can, you know, change those at any time. Very easy to fix on a small scale like this.
Right.
And an individual, I'm doing it there. But if I had ordered 5,000 boxes and they had a spelling mistake on them, I think I'd want to
we went through it
jump
so
out a window.
Just like Jesse, we went through it so many times. It was, it was ridiculous.
Well, that's kind of like with my liquid hand wash. I do have a company that does like labels for that and, you know, for my solid dish soap and such as that. They're local and they're a great company to work with. I can text the girl that's the designer there and be like, hey, I need this. And she'll text me like, it's ready to pick up whenever you come through town, you know. But when I was doing my labels for my hand wash, I was in a hurry. I wasn't paying attention. Squirrel. And I put perfume free
because
I took a screenshot of something and said, I need these on my labels.
Right.
And I didn't realize that one of the little designs on there said perfume free. There's not a perfume free hand wash over there.
I think I might have also pointed that out.
Yeah, I think she probably did.
Like,
you probably did.
It says perfume free.
Meanwhile, you probably sent it to me and I'm like, oh yeah, it looks good.
So
I apparently am the proofreader of the group. I don't know.
Clearly.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, how I fixed that was with a Sharpie.
Not even one of them. Oh, I unboxed the one today that you sent me, and I noticed there was a sticker stuck over.
Yeah,
the
and
one
I got the little stickers.
That works. That works.
Before I got the stickers, it was a Sharpie.
Nice.
Oopsies.
So then some of the other things that you want to keep in mind when you're doing your packaging is a lot of people are looking for eco-friendly and sustainable options. So sometimes, you know, when we were shrink wrapping, the reason that we switched from the shrink wrap to the paper was we had customers actually say to us, listen, your soap is fantastic, but you're using shrink wrap, and I'm not all about that. So if you could switch to something that's more earth friendly, you've got a customer for life.
Mm-hmm. Instead, cut down trees.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which I'm completely fine with. My husband's a logger.
Hey, people plant trees too. It's okay. But I think actually your current packaging, Margaret, looks a lot better than shrink wrap. I think it looks great.
It does. I think it looks great. It has a homey feel to it.
Right. It's got that like old kind of apothecary feel, mm-hmm. which is it does. What John was really like. That was his mindset before
that
we
was
started.
His aesthetic.
That's his aesthetic. That's right. Even the fonts and everything. We've changed the fonts a couple of times.
Yeah.
Which again, when you're doing something on this mm-hmm. scale, you can change and play and see what you like better and things like that. But as far as like sustainable, you have to be careful. Like, is it actually biodegradable or is it a company that's greenwashing it? You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, you mentioned that. I was looking at something recently and I cannot remember what it was, but it was talking about like commercially compostable. So I was like, what the heck is that? Because, you know, people have compost in their backyard.
Mm-hmm.
But commercially compostable means you would have to take it to a facility that doesn't. Now, it will break down in nature on its own, but it's meant to be broken down this other way. So it takes a lot longer in nature.
Interesting.
But there are products out there that are commercially compostable.
Right. And then the greenwashed thing. Have you heard of that? It's like when companies claim to be, you know, eco-friendly and they claim, but it's really like the percentage is just it's so minuscule that it's ridiculous.
That's been going on for decades. You remember recycled paper came out and it was like 18% recycled content or something?
Right, yeah.
This is recycled paper.
Yeah.
So then now let's talk about recyclable, reusable, or compostable.
Oh, hold on.
Which one works best?
Jesse, what are you giggling at?
I never would buy the recyclable paper because I could just imagine somebody blowing their nose on that and then it being recycled. I'm like, there's boogers on my paper!
I don't think they recycle tissues. But you never know.
People will blow their nose on anything and wipe their butt with anything. I'm sorry.
Including the trees that your husband cuts down. Anyway.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, you have probably wiped your butt with toilet paper that came from a tree my husband cut.
There you go.
Loaded.
Okay.
Squirrel.
So then, are your customers willing to pay for eco packaging?
Mm-hmm.
There are customers who are, yes.
Specifically requested it.
Yeah, but, you know, you're talking about, so we're going to talk about this in a second, but, like, we paid more for our packaging to ensure that it came from a local company, right? So there are people who will pay more to get what they want.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And that is your customer base.
Yep.
Yep.
And if the base comes by and they're like, I don't want to pay that much money because you put all that effort into it. There are some people that get those clamshells, those mm-hmm. Cardboard clamshell things for their soaps, and those suckers are expensive. But obviously
I've seen those.
Customer base that'll work it. You know, it depends on where you live, too.
But they're so ugly.
Oh, we probably have a listener who uses them, and now you've just...
You're using those, and I hate to insult you, but I think that packaging is very ugly. I would still buy it.
You know what they say, opinions are like buttholes.
That's right.
Everybody's got one, some just smells worse than others. And they should wash.
Mark. I definitely... seeing that packaging wouldn't stop me from buying a soap. Like, I wouldn't say, oh, I'm not buying that because the packaging, I don't like the packaging. So I don't really think that personally to me, packaging means that much. However, if I'm walking past in a store and there's a bunch of different ones on the shelves, my eye is obviously going to be drawn to a more attractive packaging.
But there are people out there who would buy that soap specifically because of that. So
yeah.
And that's just their customer base.
Yep.
People definitely will judge a book by its cover.
Yep, 100%. And then, so, you know, we're always balancing your sustainability with practicality, right?
Oh, we've talked about that too, right? When we talked about, like, not wanting to put bath products in glass bottles because...
Yeah, because I don't want somebody to break the glass bottle and step on it.
Right, in the shower.
Oh. That would suck.
Let's see.
But then, you know, they'd get mad because it's in plastic packaging. And they're like, well, I can only do so. I'm worried, more worried about your safety than I am about anything else right now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Reuse the plastic bottle. It's reusable.
Sure.
Yep.
Or recyclable.
So what about packaging on a budget? Mm-hmm. Where do you buy your packaging in bulk?
So I got my craft paper from that I did for my previous labels, Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We get a lot of stuff from Uline, and then the boxes that we use to package our soaps, we do a lot of stuff from what is it called? I told you about it.
eBay.
Yeah. The word escaped me. But so eBay, there's Paper Mart, there's Nashville Wraps.
Yep. There's
Eco
Unclothes. Which is actually in my hometown. Nashville Wraps actually ships out of Hendersonville. I'm like, hey.
That's funny. So, I mean, you can get it anywhere. What about printing labels at home versus professional printing? I know Jesse always has used a printer.
Not always. Yeah, I used to do mine from home. I used to get the onlinelabels.com stuff, and I had a design, and it really sucked. But I still done it, and then I went to my local print shop. I'm like, I'm tired of doing this. Here, y'all do this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I still print most of mine.
You still do your...
Anything that's not the actual box, yeah, I still do it.
Okay.
And I've kind of got... It took a while to get into the rhythm. I've gotten to the rhythm now, but eventually that will get passed on to a printer. That's probably the same printer that I use for this.
Okay. I still print all of my stuff at home, and I use Avery. I think Online Labels is cheaper than Avery.
It is.
But I just have everything on Avery already. It's just so convenient.
You're such a weirdo.
I do a lot of the designs. I do a lot of designs on Canva, and then I take them over to the Maestro design, whatever, and print them up on. Or now I've been doing a lot of stuff with my Cricut. So I get the online label single sheet thing and then do print and cut.
Oh, I have the Silhouette and I just never print and cut properly. I just can't. It never lined up right.
I couldn't get it lined up either. And then once I calibrated it, they came out so much better.
I've done it, but with the Silhouette, it has to be a really well lit room. So I literally would have to take a flashlight and as it's reading the calibrate, you know, like as it's a little bit different than the Cricut. I'd have to hold the flashlight on the machine so that it would pick up everything properly. It was just, I don't need to be standing there and watching that. It's just annoying.
I'm pretty sure the Cricut has a light in it. Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had just had problems when I use pre-cut labels sometimes getting them to line up. Even if I do the calibration, I don't know if it's the way it feeds in goes wrong or something, but then they don't line up properly. So I got fed up and I'm like, I'm just going to do print and cut.
What about custom stamps or ink saving hacks? You have anything like that?
I've got a custom ink stamp and I mainly use it for like stamping bags for like craft fairs and such as that. I haven't done it yet, but that's what I bought it for.
We stamp everything. We stamp the paper. We have so many different custom stamps. We stamp the paper, and then we stamp the top of our boxes, and we open up the box, and we stamp the insides of the boxes so that when you open it, you have your little, all you need is love with the daisies all over it. The top has our logo on it.
For my shipping boxes, and some people might think it's lower, but most of my shipping boxes are white, and I just have, 2x4 stickers with the logo, and it's like matte clear stickers. Mm-hmm. So when I slap that sticker on there, if unless you look at it in the light, it almost looks like it's printed on the box. So.
Oh, okay. Nice.
I just have my logo. I've got I buy the custom tape from Sticker mm-hmm. Mule, and it's got my logo on it, and I slap that on there, and I let it ride.
Okay. Nice. What about packaging as a marketing tool? Now, this is where, like, when we were first learning how to make soap and everything, we used to watch all of, who is it? Oh, my goodness. She's the one that is, like, the queen of rainbows, and she had, like, Rainbow Week or whatever. Mrs. Missouri Soap? Mrs. Missouri. Mo River. Mo River? Do you know who she is?
I've heard of her, yeah.
So we would watch her all the time. And she would have these packaging videos where she explained which boxes she used for which shapes of soap. And she would, you know, she'd open the box, she'd have everything lined up, she'd fold up some tissue paper and put it in the bottom. And then she'd put the products in, and then she'd put in the crinkle paper, and then she'd mm-hmm. close the tissue paper over it, and she'd put a little sticker on top, maybe a little couple of extras on the thing. She would close it all up, and then it was such an experience, because that's what she wants. Her customers are going to come, they're going to open it up, and just, it's like opening a present.
That's
right.
What
you order soap and you open that present. I started like that because, oh my goodness, it was so adorable, but we don't do the tissue paper anymore. We don't do, John, I don't think he does the stickers anymore, which he should. but it's a whole absolute experience. I've seen some people who use like wax seals on their stuff and handwritten notes. I used to do like fancy paper with handwritten notes on every single one, and now that's just come to, I print out the invoice and write on that.
Yeah,
that's what I do.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Well, I print out the packing slip and I write a little note on those, and that's mm-hmm. that's the extent of the personalization as I go.
Right. Okay.
We still do the whole wrap, the tissue paper with the crinkle paper inside, and it's mm-hmm. in brand colors and everything.
It's very, it comes across as being, you know, very homey and very like.
Well, it's also like, kind of feels high end as well.
Yes, it does.
And that's mm-hmm. kind of what we project our brand as. So.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We just want you to wash.
Yeah. What about, have you ever thought of putting like a QR code on your packaging that link to like TikToks or tutorials?
I actually
or
do have
like
QR stickers that I stick on my boxes. I don't think anybody ever scans them.
Yeah.
I regret getting them made.
Oh, really? I have little labels that are 1 inch by 1 inch that you could put a QR code on and put that on there. I haven't.
I got some of those because I figured those would be good on samples. But.
I actually had a QR code with our Spotify playlist, because the majority of my soaps are named after songs. So we created a Spotify playlist, and it has all of the soaps as the list. And so you go to the Spotify playlist and, oh, Dreamweaver. Oh, that's great. Oh, you know, Mr. Blue Sky, this and that, whatever. Because a lot of people, like, they don't even realize, because they're younger than us, they don't know some of the songs that we're referring to, and they just think like, what does this have to do with anything?
So I'm sitting here thinking Purple Haze and yada yada, mm-hmm. every girl's crazy about a sharp dressed man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. You go, it's a very, very random Spotify playlist, because there's just genres all over the place. It goes from country to rock to folk to everything is on that list. And for a little while I was putting that QR code on everything, but I guess we just got taken away with that. What about seasonal wrapping and seasonal packaging? Do you guys do either any of that?
A little bit, yeah. I have for the packaging I was talking about, the tissue paper and the crinkle paper. Mm-hmm. Around the holidays, I switched to like green tissue paper and red and green crinkle paper.
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh, what is she doing?
Some of the 4-hour holiday soaps, we have these really adorable stamps that are like.
What was that?
Something crinkle.
She's flashing us with sharp objects now.
She's got she's pulling boxes out.
So I did have a form box made. When I say a form box, I mean just a basic box. It's got my same, it's the same dimensions. It has the same cutout and such as that. It's currently what I'm putting my tallow soaps in right now. And get one put together here. So what I'll do when seasonal soaps or limited edition soaps, just got a basic box. Doesn't have barcode or nothing on it. Mm-hmm. And I'll just have a special label made.
For that. Okay. For that. So we have special holiday stamps that I'll deal either red or green or whatever for the holiday soaps.
You know,
but
what? One thing
we don't do
mention,
them that often. That matter.
We should mention that if someone's interested in going to boxes and they have a fairly standard size soap, mm-hmm. you can go to places like Wholesale Supplies Plus. And
yes.
Get just
you sure can.
Blank, mm-hmm. blank boxes, and they have different cutouts and all kinds of different things.
And you can get them in white. You can get them in craft. You know.
Yeah.
You great, can get great
black,
selection.
I think. And you can create your own labels for that, and you can still have your soaps in boxes without having to go through all of this mm-hmm. right here if you're not to that point yet.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Now we're up to this, Jesse. This is Seth, the segment for you. You ready? Red flags when buying packaging supplies.
I need a big red flag. You know the guy, the green flag guy yeah. on TikTok? Uh-huh. I need him back here with a big red flag just waving the crap out of it.
How about a big red barn?
So we've got, what about suppliers who don't send proofs or samples? Did you guys, when you were ordering your boxes, did they send you samples first?
Oh, I've got so many sample cutouts. I've got them up in that thing here.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a sample, and it's actually over there. Mm-hmm. The sample wasn't printed correctly. He asked me specifically, do you want a window, in your window, do you want it just a cutout, or do you want, like, the clear
cellophane.
Plastic on it? I said, no, I do not want clear plastic. The Dad Burns samples got clear plastic on it.
All right.
Yeah,
so
we had that option,
and,
too.
And the tracking code came from Pakistan, so that was a huge red flag, so I just cut that one off. Because I asked him, you know, U.S. based, right? Yep, printed in the U.S., yep, mm-hmm. Sample came from Pakistan. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I've got a massive red flag.
All right.
Humongous, like my whole background should be red.
Let's hear about that.
I'm sure Margaret can put a red flag here right now.
Yes.
She can. Red flags, hee-hee. So, yeah, long story short, I'd been looking for a packaging company that would produce my boxes in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And I'll just go ahead and call their name. I don't care if you edit it out. My husband just pulled up.
Squirrel.
Squirrel. Yeah. I went through several different companies. This was a multiple-month process mm-hmm. trying to find a company that would produce my boxes in the U.S. I finally come down to this one company, Custom Packaging Pro. And they told me that they had, you know, while they did have facilities overseas that produced boxes, they had a facility in Houston, Texas that would produce my boxes. So
you're getting packaging made in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I got in touch with this company, Custom Packaging Pro. And they told me that they could produce my boxes in the U.S. They had a facility in Houston, Texas, and that it would be a higher quote. And I told them, I said, I'm completely fine with that. Shoot me the new quote. I just would really prefer my boxes to be printed in the U.S. And I didn't say that was a breaking point. I said I would prefer it. If that's something y'all offer, I will absolutely pay extra for. At this point, I just wanted somebody to be honest with me. Honesty goes a long way with me. Mm-hmm. And so we get the quote, and I'm satisfied with the quote, and set all the wheels in motion, send them my design files. We get everything, get all the T's crossed, get all the I's dotted, such as that. And I get my boxes in. And my boxes, when they are delivered, are torn to crap. And that's not it. When they were delivered off of a UPS truck, they were in DHL boxes. And so, for anybody who doesn't know, DHL, they're niche. They do domestic shipping, like in bulk freight. But their niche is international shipping.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying the boxes were torn out. You're talking about the shipping boxes themselves, not the soap.
Yeah, the shipping, the packaging itself was torn
to crap.
The box
that your boxes were in.
The box that my boxes were in were torn to crap.
And we saw it, so we can verify that it was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And, Margaret, I can actually even send you some pictures if you want to put them up
here. Okay, yeah, yeah.
And, so they were in complete disrepair. They were even repaired with DHL tape.
Right.
So UPS is not going to repair a box with DHL tape. And the box was even opened by customs. It had a U.S. game and wildlife, fisheries, or whatever, tape on it, and they do a lot of the customs inspections at ports. I was hot.
Well,
you know,
also, the other thing was, they said it was printed in Houston, but the shipping picked up at a city that was like 2.5 hours away from Houston.
No, 8 hours away.
Oh, that's right. So I asked one of my friends, I was like, are you even familiar with the city? He lived, born and raised in Houston. He's like, I've never even heard of that city before. I don't even know.
It was the tracking number originated in Odessa, Texas. And Odessa is a pretty big shipping hub. And it's also known for, like, if you've ever seen the TV show Landman, that is in Odessa. That is, the TV show is based, like, they didn't film it, but it's based in Odessa, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Odessa, Texas is, like, the oil capital of the U.S. There is piles of drilling and such done in Odessa, Texas, and in Midland. But yeah, and that's, like, 8 hours away from Houston. Why would you produce a box, a whole bunch of boxes? Why would you produce an order for a customer in Houston, Texas, send it to Odessa to be dropped off at a UPS store? Because it shows that on the tracking, dropped off at a UPS store.
Mm-hmm.
Then to be shipped, you know, like you got Houston and you go west to go to Odessa, and then you go all this way east to go to South Mississippi. It don't make sense.
Right.
So I talked with my representative at Custom Packaging Pro several times. Never could get, they're not going to admit to that. I mean, that's
no,
because right. Technically I can't prove it, like, definitively. But if
they also try to claim that they just
DHL
boxes to ship to you?
Yeah, they
but
also
the tracking doesn't make any sense.
No, the tracking doesn't make sense
outside of Houston.
So what they claimed was that they reused boxes. You know, they had some DHL boxes in, and they just reused the packaging to send me my stuff. And I said, one, that's bad business practice. I said, because if you've got a customer that has spent almost $4,000 on packaging,
mm-hmm.
that customer does not want their product to come in a used box. It's already compromised.
Mm-hmm.
I said, and the box was repaired with DHL tape already. I'm like, so your shipping guys are so incompetent that they're going to ship me my product in a reused box that is in total disrepair.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. nah.
But not only that, they're a packaging company. You would think that they would take pride in their packaging.
100%. 100%. That would be like me sending, you know, soap that was really soft and not cured.
Yeah. Just crazy. Well, and I didn't realize that you paid more to have it done in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And then it likely was not done in the U.S.
No, it was not done in the U.S. Not at all. Ain't no way.
They made a mistake there. They won't admit to it. I mean, all the evidence points to it was printed overseas and then shipped here,
mm-hmm.
and they're selling it to you as printed in the U.S.
So they basically scammed me, basically is what happened.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they gave me a higher price point to have my boxes printed in the U.S. and then still took my, they just basically took my money and ran.
Mm-hmm.
Basically. Oh, and we looked up the address. So we have the address of where they're supposed to be based in Houston. And it looks like there are so many businesses listed at that same address. And if you look it up on Google, whatever, maps.
Earth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It looks like just a generic warehouse that probably processes a bunch of mail. So, I question if they even really are printing anything in the U.S. or if they're just telling you they are.
They're just telling you they are. I have no doubt. I mean, my spidey sense is telling me that I was put over a barrel, so to speak.
I actually almost sent my friend there. My friend said it was only like 5 or 6 miles from where he lives, and he almost went there. But I was like, I worried that if he went there and stirred up anything, that it could get ugly. So I was like, maybe not.
So I envision, like, you know, it's just full of. I don't want to say this, but everybody thinks it. I just see you walking in that door, and it just like a call center or something like that. That's just what I envision.
It probably is. We envision it as like mail sorting.
Yeah.
Just sorting mail. You know, I can say that, you know, when we've all experienced this, pretty much any time you establish any sort of business presence on social media, especially on Instagram, you get contacted by so many of these custom packaging
companies.
Oh
my gosh.
Yeah.
And I think we looked at almost every single one of those that contacted us whenever we were looking for our own boxes. And just about every single one of them was based in India and Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah. There is so like much packaging that comes out of that part of the country, that part of the world.
Right. So that's something like they try to pass. Well, I don't know all of them because I just got contacted by another one too. But they pass themselves off as being U.S. based, and they make themselves sound U.S. based, and they have an mm-hmm. address in the U.S. to make it sound like they're U.S. based. But I think mm-hmm. pretty
yep.
much all of it comes from overseas for those companies.
Right.
Yeah. Basically.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're contacting you, if they're messaging you talking about wanting to make your custom packaging, they're probably not in the U.S.
No.
Right. What are some other red flags for packaging? Well, I like over-promising turnaround times, and I'm thinking not just packaging, but like Shauna with the pens. Wasn't that an issue with you, like turnaround time? Like,
yeah, my custom pens that I had made. There was something like I placed the order and then they said, oh, we don't have that color that you ordered in. Do you want a different color? And we said, no, we want that actual color. And they said, oh, it'll be a couple weeks. And like a couple weeks goes by and I had to keep contacting them over and over again.
Right.
Yeah, I hate having to keep tabs with a company to make sure I get my stuff. Oh, my
yeah.
gosh.
Instead
I hate that.
It's the other way around, yeah.
That's a giant
pain in the rear.
Lack of communication, that's pain as well. Hidden fees, that's another pain. And materials that just don't hold up. So
yeah,
it's a pain in the rear end. All right, let's go
now,
for, let me see if
so
I
So the boxes, however, and your boxes are good boxes, right?
Yeah, they are actually really good boxes. And like I said before, the made in the U.S., I preferred my boxes to be made
right.
in the U.S., but that was not a make or break thing for me.
Right.
Like I said, with me, honesty goes a long way. If a company, I'd be more apt to go with a company who's like, sorry, all of our production facilities are overseas. This is what we can do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I would be more apt to go with that company.
Right.
Because they were honest with me.
Right.
I mean, if that's
but this, but this, this, you know, oh, we're based. Go ahead.
I just wanted to throw in there that it was a good product you got in the
yeah.
end. It's just that the dishonesty was the problem. So if you can't afford a U.S.-based one and you have to go with one of these overseas ones, you can still get a good product. It's just
right. You absolutely
knowing,
can.
You
but,
going
yeah.
in with open eyes, knowing what you're getting and where you're getting, where it's coming from.
And the fact that they charged me more.
Yeah, that's the kicker.
That's... deceitful. That's very deceitful.
There was look. These two heifers can assure y'all, I was hot. There was steam coming off my head.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I was hot. I was one hot little
mini
heifer.
I would be too. How much more did you pay for them to be to do in the U.S.? It was several hundred dollars, I remember.
Yeah, it was like $300 or $400, something like that. You know, it was, which it really should have. It's not. I really thought it would have been more than that, and that really should have been a red flag. But I'll give anybody the benefit of the doubt. And that's probably just me being from the South. You know, we do deals on handshakes. That's just how we roll down here. And, you know, the rest of the world doesn't operate that way, but it just, you know, your words, you bond, that's the kind of thing down here.
Mm-hmm.
And I just...
leaves you with a really bad taste in your mouth, I can tell you that. Yeah.
Very, mm-hmm. very, very, very bad taste. So, yeah, don't use Custom Packaging Pro. Do not use them. They will lie to you, in my opinion. I'm not saying
unless,
this is gospel.
Unless you are okay with them printing overseas.
Unless you're
right,
exactly. You know, if you're cool with them printing, just don't use them. They'll lie to you. I'm sorry. I'm not going to endorse them at all.
There you go. So let's do a little quick. I only have 2, 4, 6. This or that's ready.
All right.
This or that packaging edition. Craft paper or shrink wrap?
Craft paper.
Shrink wrap, it's what I've got.
Yeah, I like craft paper. Matte labels or glossy?
Matte.
Matte.
Mm, depends on the product, I feel like. Clear window or full coverage mystery box?
Clear window.
Sounds kinky.
That wasn't a choice. Sticker seals or wax seals?
Sticker. I ain't got no wax seals.
Yeah,
I would love to do wax seal, but it's the time.
The time consuming. It just seems so time consuming.
A wise woman once said, "Ain't nobody got time for that."
Ain't nobody got time for that. Not at all.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Shipping peanuts or crinkle paper?
Crinkle paper.
Soap nuts.
Jesse like and her giant nut sack. Anyway.
My giant insects hanging from the ceiling.
Neutral tones or bold color pop?
Probably more neutral. I think my palette's more neutral.
I've got both in mine.
Okay.
So
I'm always just black and white.
I prefer neutrals.
Mm-hmm.
A little pop won't never hurt nobody, though.
Damn, never hurt nobody. So that's it. That's all I have for this or that. If you guys want to put in the comments what your this or that would be on any of those, feel free to do that. And I guess I'm going to wrap it up, right?
Mm-hmm. Wrap it up. That's what she
wrap
said.
Wrap it up. Wrap it up. Wrap it up.
I mean, it is the packaging edition, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
You got to protect your product. Use protection always.
If today's episode taught us anything, it's that packaging isn't just a finishing touch. It's a whole strategy, from deciding what materials you'll use to making sure your labels are compliant. We hope that you're walking away with some fresh ideas, fewer regrets, and maybe even a few sources to check out or to not check out. If you like this episode, don't forget to like, share, rate, and tag us when you're listening. Tell a friend, tell your packaging supplier, tell your mailman, tell your mom and them. If you have a burning question for any one of us heifers, send us an email. Who knows? We might just answer it live on the show. And if you think you'd be a good guest on the show, we're always looking for strong opinions and stronger coffee. Shoot us a message. Until next time, stay dirty, heifers.